Hey, welcome to Positive Light, where we're bringing a positive influence into this world and into your lives. Hi, I'm Bob Miles, and today's subject is going to be on the Holy Spirit and why we need Him in our lives. So out of Acts 2, 3 and 4, it says, "They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. The Holy Spirit is very important to us in our lives, and that's God inside of us. So Billy Graham was asked a question regarding the Holy Spirit, and here's the question. "I have heard comedians mock the Holy Spirit. I've even heard religious people say that there is no such thing because they cannot see it. What does a person of faith say in return, and does the Bible speak of the Holy Spirit as a truly part of God?" And Billy Graham's answer, "The Holy Spirit is not a thing, and Scripture severely warns against mocking or blaspheming the Holy Spirit out of Matthew 12:31. Reverence for the Trinity is at the heart of the Christian faith. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one," out of 1 John 5:7. So someone told the story of a young boy who asked his father, "How can I believe in the Holy Spirit when I have never seen him?" His father, an electrician, took the boy to a power plant and showed him the generators. "This is where the power comes from to heat our stove and to give us light. We can't see the power, but it is in that machine and in the power lines." Then he asked his son, "Do you believe in electricity?" As the boy thought about it, his father explained that everyone believes in electricity because they see what it can do. Likewise, though we cannot see the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ know the result of His power in their lives. Surrendering our lives to the Lord Jesus opens up the power source. The Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit is God Himself. When you yearn for God and desire His truth, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, a life touched by God's Spirit will run after sin no longer. It is never a question of how much we have the Spirit, but how much He has of us. Your body is the home of the Holy Spirit. And out of 1 Corinthians 6:19, who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. Just as God the Father and God the Son are also God, we speak to them as the Trinity. You ask me to explain the Trinity? Our minds can but dimly grasp the great spiritual facts because we are finite and God is infinite. It may help to remember that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have all existed from eternity. The work of creation was given to the Son, and we are told that. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But when you read the second verse of the first chapter of Genesis, you will find that the Holy Spirit was also there, moving upon the face of His creation. In time, the Son of the God came into the world as a man to redeem the world which He had created. After His death on the cross and His resurrection, He went back to the Father in heaven. During His earthly ministry, His work and life were spent within circumscribed area in Palestine. When He went back to heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit to exercise a worldwide ministry. Today, the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. All over the world, the Holy Spirit is wooing men to Christ, and He lives in the hearts of believers and helps us each day. To be spiritually filled Christians is to be the kind of Christians that God wants us to be. So to change your life for the better, it requires the Holy Spirit. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy, out of Ephesians 4:21-24. You need more power than just willpower in your life. You need God's power in your life. The fruit of the Spirit are the qualities that God puts in your life when the Holy Spirit lives through you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How does God produce that fruit in your life? Not by your willpower. You don't go out and say, I'm going to be more patient person. See, that doesn't work. You try to say, I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more loving. It's like tying some oranges on a eucalyptus tree and calling it an orange tree. It doesn't work that way. Fruit can only come from the inside, the Holy Spirit living through you. How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? The answer is gradually. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image, out of 2 Corinthians. When God wants to make a mushroom, He takes 6 hours. When God wants to make an oak tree, He takes 60 years. The question is, do you want your life to be a mushroom or an oak tree? You didn't collect your hurts, habits, and hang-ups overnight. It took you a long time to get as messed up as you are. Someone approached Pastor Rick Warren once and said, Pastor Rick, I need you to solve my marriage problem. Rick said, how long have you been married? 15 years. How long have you had this problem? 10 years. And you want a 5-second answer? It's not going to happen. You've got to peel that onion one layer at a time. The Holy Spirit works within us to make us gradually more and more like Him. Your character is the sum total of your habits. Your responsibility is to develop new habits that help you to change. Yeah, so next, I'm going to read you a story, and I hope you enjoy me telling stories as much as I like telling them. And the story is called, How Much Does a Prayer Weigh? Louise, a poorly dressed lady with a look of defeat on her face, walked into a grocery store. She approached the owner of the store in the most humble manner and asked if he would let her charge a few groceries. She softly explained that her husband was very ill, unable to work. They had 7 children and they needed food. John Longhouse, the grocer, scoffed at her and requested that she leave his store. Visualizing the family needs, she said, Please, sir, I will bring you the money just as soon as I can. John told her he could not give her any credit, as she did not have a charge account at his store. Standing beside the counter was a customer who overheard the conversation between the two. The customer walked forward and told the grocer that he would stand good for whatever she needed for her family. The grocer said in a very reluctant voice, Do you have a grocery list? Louise replied, Yes, sir. Okay, he said, Put your grocery list on the scales, and whatever your grocery list weighs, I will give you that amount in groceries. Louise hesitated a moment with a bowed head. Then she reached into her purse and took out a piece of paper and scribbled something on it. Then she laid the piece of paper on the scale carefully, with her head still bowed. The eyes of the grocer and the customer showed amazement when the scale went down and stayed down. The grocer, staring at the scales, turned slowly to the customer and said begrudgingly, I can't believe it. The customer smiled and the grocer started putting the groceries on the other side of the scale. The scale did not balance, so he continued to put more and more groceries on them until the scales would hold no more. The grocer stood there in utter disgust. Finally, he grabbed the piece of paper from the scales and looked at it with greater amazement. It was not a grocery list. It was instead a prayer which said, Dear Lord, you know my needs, and I am leaving this in your hands. The grocer gave her the groceries that he had gathered and stood in stunned silence. Louise thanked him and left the store. The customer handed a $50 bill to the grocer and said, It was worth every penny of it. It was some time later that the grocer discovered the scales were broken. So therefore, only God knows how much a prayer weighs. So next, I'm going to introduce a song to you called Holy Spirit Come by Tommy Walker. And here's the song.
Take your rightful place in
Great song. The part of that song I like the best, bring your hope, bring your love, bring your joy, bring your peace. Breathe new life in us. Holy Spirit, come. So again, that's by Tommy Walker, and you can catch Tommy Walker on YouTube. You can subscribe to his channel. You can also get him at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. So this next part on the Holy Spirit is what I got out of The Bible in 1 Year by Nikki Gumbel, and he really puts it in a good perspective, and here it is. He says, spending time in the presence of God is the most important activity of your life. You need God's presence in your life more than you need anything else. But where do you find the presence of God? God is always present with his people today by his Holy Spirit. When you pray, come Holy Spirit, you are asking for an increased sense of the presence of God. There are times in the New Testament when the Holy Spirit filled a gathering of people sovereignly and spontaneously, out of Acts 2 and Acts 10. There are other times when the disciples prayed for the Holy Spirit. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, out of Acts 4. In the Old Testament, we read how the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Out of each of these passages coming up, he tells us something about how to enjoy God's empowering presence that comes through the Holy Spirit. In out of Psalm 76, the temple in Jerusalem was not primarily a place of sacrifice, but the place of God's presence. The psalmist writes, in Judah God is known, his name is great in Israel, his tent is in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. Salem is the old Jebusite name for Jerusalem. Zion is a word often used to refer to Jerusalem as the focal point of God's presence. Amongst his people in the Old Testament, this is the place of his tent. This is where God dwells. This is why the people of God were so passionate about Jerusalem, and in particular the temple they longed, as we all do deep inside, for the presence of God. The amazing truth is that through Jesus we can know the presence of God in and among us, his people, wherever we are. He dwells in you by his Spirit. Lord, I long for your presence with me. Thank you that your dwelling place is with your people. Please fill us again today with your Holy Spirit and make your name great among us. And out of Acts 13 and Acts 14, from the day of Pentecost, God's empowering presence came upon his people. In today's passage, we read that they were once again filled with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian now has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. In this passage, we see the impact of God's empowering presence when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. God's effectiveness. In Antioch, crowds gathered to hear the word of the Lord. In Iconium, they spoke so effectively that the great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. The Lord confirmed his message by enabling them to do signs and wonders. This does not mean that everyone in the church will necessarily enjoy perfect health in this life. Rather, we see an inbreaking of the future kingdom of God so that the gospel may go forth and triumph. So God's opposition. Do not assume that God is with you, then you will not encounter any significant opposition. These incidents remind us that actually the opposite is often the case. Where God is at work, the enemy tries to stir up opposition and difficulty. In Antioch, some people went wild with jealousy and tore into Paul, contradicting everything he was saying, making an ugly scene. They stirred up persecution and expelled them from their region. In Iconium, those who refused to believe worked up a whispering campaign against Paul and Barnabas, sowing mistrust and suspicion in the minds of the people in the street. They organized to beat them up. God's joy. Your happiness does not depend on what is happening to you. There is deep joy that came from God's presence. As the psalmist writes, your presence is fullness of joy. In the middle of all opposition, and after they had been forced to leave Antioch, they went on to the next town, Iconium, brimming with joy and the Holy Spirit, two happy disciples. And that's again out of Acts 13. So God's boldness. The Holy Spirit will give you boldness in spite of opposition. In Antioch, Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. In Iconium, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord. In spite of the opposition and plot afoot, they continued to preach the good news. So Lord, fill me today with the Holy Spirit and with joy. Help me to speak so effectively that many will believe. Help me not be put off by opposition, stirring of plots. Give me courage to speak boldly for you. I pray that you will confirm the message of your grace with miraculous signs and wonders. And out of 1 Kings 7 and 1 Kings 8, it's God's empowering presence. Why in the world would you not want to spend time with God? We spend hours on social media, watching TV, or on the telephone, as Joyce Meyer writes. We seem to have no problem investing our time in those pursuits. The truth is this. The devil fights us more in the area of our spending time with God than he does in any other area of our Christian lives. In fact, Satan would much prefer that we get involved in all kinds of religious activity rather than spend time with the Lord. This passage helps us to understand how amazing it is to spend time in the presence of God, the extraordinary privilege that is available to you as a follower of Jesus. This Old Testament passage about the building of the physical temple in Jerusalem, a place for God to dwell forever, takes on a whole new meaning when you read it in the light of the New Testament. The temple in Jerusalem prefigured God's dwelling place in believers' hearts in the New Testament. In particular, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of the Lord. The climax of this temple, both in it being prepared for use and in Solomon's praise, was the placing of the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. The Ark had nothing in it except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it. In other words, the Ten Commandments. When you, the people of God, live under the Word of God, you discover the Spirit of God increasing your experience of the presence of God. We read, when the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their services because the cloud for the glory of the Lord filled this temple. When we pray, "Come Holy Spirit," we are praying for a greatly increased sense of the presence of God to come among us. This is what we so often experience when we pray that prayer. Although God is present everywhere, we do not always sense His presence. Surely, what is being described here is a greatly increased sense of His presence of God. This is what Solomon was describing when he said, "I've built this splendid temple, O God, to mark your invisible presence forever." There can be particular moments when we experience God's presence when we are with others, but you can also experience God's presence as you spend time with Him by yourself. You don't need to be legalistic about it, but a regular time with God's help. As you read the Bible, as you talk to your Father in prayer, as sometimes you listen to Christian music or just sit in silence, you begin to experience God's presence. Indeed, sometimes the prayer, "Come Holy Spirit," can be answered with total peace, calm, and stillness. Lord, how can we praise you enough for the way that you've fulfilled your promise in us? Praise you, Lord, that as your glory filled the temple of Solomon, so now your glory fills your people. Thank you that all your promises are fulfilled in us. Come, Holy Spirit, fulfill your promise among us again today. Thank you that every time we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," the Holy Spirit comes and we experience an increased sense of the presence of God among us. Help me to prioritize my time and enjoy your awesome presence with me. So next, I want to go over five key roles that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Number one, He guides you into Jesus' truth. Jesus was clear on the importance of the Holy Spirit, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all the truth. He will glorify me because it is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you, out of John 16. Do you want to know what Jesus is saying to you as you journey through life? Do you want to be able to hear God's voice as you read through the pages of the Bible? It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who communicates all of that to you. And number two, He directs your steps. The Holy Spirit not only speaks the words of Jesus to you, but He actually is the one who leads and directs your steps into the abundant life that Jesus promised. Paul wrote, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." Out of Romans 8. The Holy Spirit is the conduit of life from God into your heart. He is the one who controls your thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions as you follow His leading. He will direct your steps through all the complicated paths of life and keep you from sin. That is abundant life. And number three, He gives you spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is also the one who gives spiritual gifts to all followers of Jesus so that we all can play our role in the body of Christ. Paul gave us a sampling of those gifts in the first letter to the Corinthian church. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And that's out of 1 Corinthians 12. It is through these gifts of the Spirit that we function best as the church. And it is through these gifts that we are able to proclaim the power of Jesus to people who desperately need to know our Savior. And number four, He empowers you to proclaim. In Acts, Luke recalls over and over the crucial role the Holy Spirit played in the early church's proclamation of the gospel. When Peter and John stood accused before powerful leaders, Luke reported that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and boldly proclaimed that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one they had crucified, was the only way to salvation, out of Acts 4. This is the same Peter who only 2 months earlier had denied Jesus. And now, standing in the very place where Jesus had been condemned, Peter accused these religious elite that they had crucified the Messiah. That new boldness could only be possible through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Number five, He guarantees your hope of heaven. The Holy Spirit is also important because He is the guarantee of your inheritance in heaven. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, out of Ephesians 1. Satan wants to destroy your hope and tries to get you to doubt your Savior's love. But the Spirit's leading, teaching, gifting, and proclaiming is proof that you belong to God forever. So don't let anybody bewitch you. The Holy Spirit is of vital importance in your life. It is through Him that the character of Christ is revealed in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's out of, again, Galatians 5. So remember, the Holy Spirit, who is God, lives inside of you. So take advantage of it. And that brings us to the end of our episode. My prayer, as always, is that God blesses the journey that you're on and that you embrace the path that God has you on. Next week's episode is going to be your personal relationship with God and how important it is. You can catch me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out a couple other podcasts too, the medical stuff and EMS 2020. The EMS 2020 is pretty new. You can catch my podcast and there too, any place you download your podcast for free. Everybody have a great week. God bless. We'll see you next week.